We had a great service this morning, and we're so thankful for all the mothers that were here and opportunity to give a gift to each one of them. Had a great attendance this morning as well. Got to talk to Pastor a little bit. He did want to let you know, and I just want to read the text so we can get it very clear. He said that Norm Steiner went home to be with the Lord early this morning. So please pray for Shirley and Norm's two daughters, Randy and Tracy. So please keep them in your prayers tonight and keep them. We'll get some more information, things like that, as it becomes available, as we can talk to Preacher a little bit more in the family. So be in prayer for Norm and then their family. Norm's in a better place today. So we're thankful for that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we're thankful for that. But be in prayer for his family as they work on those arrangements and with Preacher as well. We can continue to pray for Brother Bob and that he will continue to heal. It's good to see Brother Tony. He's got his arm out of the sling now, so he's going to be able to get back to swinging pretty soon. I'm kidding about that, of course. Take your time. Get that good physical therapy going right. But we're glad for that and good time for that. Hope you have a good afternoon. Had a good time this afternoon, and I hope you didn't get blown in too bad coming in this afternoon. The wind picked up right there, right at the very beginning. Let's go take our Bibles, and if we could stand in honor of God's Word this evening, if you're able to stand. We're going to begin reading in 2 John, as we talked about this morning. We're going to be looking into a lady, an unknown lady, unnamed lady, but as we continue our theme, looking into another lady. We're going to look at our testimony tonight, and the testimony, the title for tonight is The Elect Lady of Love. The Elect Lady of Love. We're not going to read the entire chapter, although we could, and that way you could say you read a chapter, a book of the Bible on Sunday, get you caught up with your Bible reading. But we're just going to work on verse number 1 down through to verse number 7. So God says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us, shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the Son of Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the day. We thank you for our good attendance we had this morning and all those that were faithful to God's house today. We thank you so much for those that all returned again tonight to worship you tonight. Again, we're thankful for our mothers and we're thankful for their good testimony, their godly testimony. We're thankful for our preacher and pray for him as they travel back, spending time with their family. I do want to pray for the Steiner family tonight. We just pray, Lord, you put your grace and mercy upon them. And Lord, give them comfort this evening. And Lord, just put your hand upon them. And Lord, just pray that you bless our service tonight. Be with our missionaries as they continue to minister around the world. Pray that you'll just continue to help them to see fruit for their labors. Lord, help us to learn from your word tonight, Lord, and help us to apply it to our personal lives, to our church as well. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of God's word this evening. You know, there are many important, interesting ladies in the Bible, as we mentioned this morning. And there were some who are known for really not being so nice. You remember Jezebel? She was in the Bible. She was not a nice lady. She did not have a good reputation. She did not have a good testimony. She did not have a walk with God. She did not have love in her heart for her fellow man. She did not care for any other individuals, really, other than herself and her own false religion. And she was an instrumental individual in doing great damage and great harm to the Israelite people and to that nation. She was not a good lady. Some were example of, but yet there were some women, as we saw this morning, that we should strive to be. Really, even we as men, sometimes we may not admit it, but we can learn from ladies. Amen. We really can. We can learn from ladies. You know, when she tells you to turn at the next street, she's telling you that because GPS lady told her that. And so you can learn from her and make that turn and make that place. We can learn from them. But here in our text tonight, we want to find a lady. We don't know her name. And this was obviously an individual that had a great influence and a great testimony with John and with him. He held her in very high regard. He held her in very high importance in her own life. And her own testimony was such that John, through the Holy Spirit and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote her a letter that we can learn from tonight and learn from her testimony. And I just want to really look at her testimony tonight. Maybe examine to ourselves, do we have the same testimony as this great lady, even though we don't know her name, even though we don't know where she lived, even though we don't know her background, even though we don't know her history, we just know that she had great importance and a great influence in John in his life, and he knew about her, and he wanted to write her this very important letter. We know about Rahab and the great things that she did. We know about the widow woman that took care of Elijah. We know about Hannah as we examined this morning and looked into her life. We definitely know the story of Mary and how she influenced and how her influence was. And we know of Lois and Eunice, the grandmother of Timothy. And all of these had great importance. And God chose to include their name and tell some story about their lives in the Word of God. But here we have just this lady. This unknown lady and her testimony. And the list really could go on for a while, but John decided to focus on this individual. And great speculation has been made as to who this lady was. And if you have as many commentaries as I have and lots of different books, they like to speculate and people like to write things. And if it's not the inspired Word of God, you can write whatever you want. So different commentary books like to maybe guess on to who this might have been or who this individual could have been to have such influence on John's life. But it really honestly doesn't matter. I don't believe it matters the individual's name or maybe their history or their background, but what's important is their testimony. You see, God wants us to see the importance of what it was and the practice of her life and to encourage us through her practice. We can see here that the scripture states in other places that our conversation, meaning our way of life, our way of living, is of great importance. It's important to live our life, our conversation in a certain way. And this was exemplified by this lady here. And John is the writer of love. In fact, in the book of 1 John, all the way through to here, he mentions the word love 60 times. And he uses this elect lady as the example of it. He speaks about love and God's love and the love of the brethren and the love of one another and loving each other and following the commandment of God. And she is that picture. She has the testimony of that love. So I want us quickly tonight, as we look into the Word of God tonight, experience these things and see this testimony that this lady had. We see in verse number 1-4, we see, first of all, we see her experience. We see her personal experience with the Lord. The Bible says there in verse number 1, of the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth. She was one that was loved in the truth with her experience here, and other people have known her. Obviously, she had a great experience and a great testimony with not only John, but many other people, and those are all these others that knew Jesus Christ, their Lord and personal Savior, and they loved her, and they all loved her in the same place, in the truth. What is the truth? John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. So she had a great testimony with a walk with the Lord and a great testimony in fellowshipping with God and a great testimony in communicating with God. As we saw this morning, Hannah was a woman of prayer. She was a woman that spent time in God's Word and spent time talking to God and pouring out her burdens and her heart and all the things they had in their life. She poured those out to God and she spent time with God. And evidently, clearly, this lady was known for a lady that was connected with God. They could tell by talking to her that she had spent time with the Lord. They could tell by spending time with her that she had a close personal relationship with God. They could see that in her heart and life. Those around her could tell a difference in her heart and life. Those around her could see that smile on her face, could see something different about them. She had a glow about her. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see God and glorify Him. I paraphrase there. But really what I want to see is there was something about her that the world saw, but everyone else saw as well. They were loved in the truth, and they were loved by Jesus Christ and all the others that dwelt within the truth. She was one of those that I kind of feel like that everyone couldn't wait to see her. She always had that good word to say. She always had that smile upon her face. She always had that prayer life. She always had that time with the Lord. He knew her well, but not only verse number one, but also they that have known the truth. Anyone that knew John knew her. Anyone that knew where he was knew her. She had such a good godly testimony. And because of that, verse number three there, grace be unto you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So not only was she loved in the truth, but because of her walk with God, God had bestowed greatly upon her grace, mercy, and peace. And it all came from God the Father, God the Son, His Son Jesus Christ. It all came from that. Don't you like to be blessed by God? Don't you like God to take care of you? Isn't it great when God bestows His mercy and grace upon you? Isn't it great? I've talked to different people, and I've been to hospitals, and I've visited folks, and I've had so many people tell me, I don't know how I could do it without my church family, without my Lord. The more you spend time with God, the happier you are. You know why this world is so cranky? Have no relationship with God. In this world, the closer you get to God, you know, the happier you are. Guys, isn't it a bummer to be without your wife for a while? I pray for Brother Sam. I'm thankful for his wife's heart. It's a great testimony to me. But to be without his wife, I mean, I go places with my wife. I don't want to go anywhere by myself. I like to go places with my wife because I love her. I like to be around her. We go on vacation. We go on vacation on purpose and ditch the kids. We want to spend time with each other. We're happier when we're together. We're happier when we're one with another. But you know what? The happier we are is when both of us are close to God. And the closer you can get to God, the happier you are. The closer you get to God, the more blessed you are. The more happy you can, the closer you get to God, the more grace and mercy He gives to you. What does God say? Draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. You know how you can get close to your wife? Get close to your wife. You know? I know in the old days, you used to have two separate beds. But get your chair close to her. Hold her hand. Same thing with God. Get close to Him. Spend some time with Him. Talk to Him. Read His book. Let the still small voice speak to your heart. Here was a lady. She had great experience and she was bestowed. She had grace, mercy, and peace. She had that testimony from those around her. They could see it in her. And it was not because of her great personality. It was not because of anything that she had physically about her. No, she spent time with God. And because of that, look what it says in verse number four. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children. Doing what? Walking in the truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. Do you know what happens when you really like something? You give it out. Anybody ever notice that? When you really enjoy doing something, you tell people about it. Obviously, I really enjoy my wife. I've been talking about her since I've been here. You like to do those kind of things. Here was a lady that didn't keep her walk with the Lord to herself. The Bible says here that her children walked in the truth. Now, this could be her physical children, but really by the context, I believe it even means her spiritual children. She reproduced herself. She walked with God, and she had that testimony about her, and the grace and mercy and peace from God was on her life, and God was blessing her. And when a person walks with God in that way, guess what they do then? They reproduce themselves, and they begin to develop and they begin to teach that to other people. Isn't it great to be able to look out to maybe a church crowd and be able to look across the aisle and say, I remember when I led that person to Christ. It's awesome to see them growing in the Lord. Ladies, when's the last time you led somebody to Christ? When's the last time that you've seen someone grow through your testimony? Wouldn't it be great for a pastor to be able to come and say, I remember, I'm so thankful for this person, and here's all the people now that are following after her. Gentlemen, the same thing. Paul told Timothy, you're supposed to go find men and find other people and teach them the same things that you've been taught in life. There's a great song that Miss Oster has sung before. It says, who's going to take our place in the battle? Who's going to take our place in the battle? Someday all of us aren't going to be here. We could say some are maybe going to go sooner than others, but you never know. Life is like that. Who's going to take our place? My dad would always put it this way. If God called you home, who fills your chair? Who fills your chair? Does it continue to go? And John was saying here with his experience with her, every time he heard of her, every time he heard a news from her, every time he saw her, every time he got around her, every time he talked to her, he could see more of those that she had an influence in, and they were walking in truth, and they were doing the same thing she was, and they had the same commandments that she had in their lives, and they were living the same life of love that she was living. She had that kind of influence, all those around her. He says, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. Maybe it could be possible here that John had led her to Christ and now she was passing it on to someone else and now she was winning someone else to Christ and she was producing her own fruit for Christ. What a blessing that is to see. So first of all, we see her experience. Second of all, we see some expectations. Verse number 5, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. This love here is that agape love, which basically means a love of mind or reason and will. To love even when one does not deserve love. Or to love when utterly undeserved. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ loved you when you weren't worthy of love? We were sinners, and we can look out to the world and we can think how bad the world is and how wicked the world is, and certainly there's wickedness outside these walls. But in reality, when you read, remember Paul says, I killed people, and God still loved me. He still gave me eternal life. He still changed my life and gave me something new. We can look all the way back to the Old Testament, and David was a man after God's own heart, but we know all the things that David did, and yet God still loved him. Aren't you thankful for that kind of love? We think about our children, and maybe our children have times when they disappoint us. But you know what? I still love him. I still love him. Sometimes our brothers and sisters disappoint us. But you still love them. You still love them no matter what. No matter what. It's always kind of a joke in the Oster family. At one time when I was living at home, I was with my parents and my brother was living at home. We were just kind of in between college. I think we had nearly like 60 guns in the house. And I know for some people that's like, that's under my bed. But we had all this, and it was always a joke. You didn't want to mess with one Oster, because if you messed with one Oster, no matter what's going on between us, if you messed with one, you messed with all of them, and the battle's coming. But you know, Jesus Christ died for you, even though you were undeserving. And God says, this is the expectation. And John was looking to this lady, and I fully believe here, he wasn't telling her something that she needed to correct. He was really telling her something to exhort her, to encourage her. Because it's not, I believe, all you got to do is read verse 1 through 5, and you can see she was certainly a lady of love. And he was just trying to encourage her to continue on, to continue loving. It was nothing new. John even says that in his verse there. Now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee. I'm not trying to teach you something new. I'm not trying to correct something with you in your life, but I certainly want to encourage you. Man, life sometimes gets hard. Life can be a bed of roses. Have you ever fallen into a rose bush? They're pretty. They got thorns. Life isn't easy, but we can still love. We may not like when they cut us off or they run the red light, but you still wave and say, Lord bless you. And have your testimony and love. Continue in it. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's really not honestly hard to serve the Lord. We just have to choose to do so. It's really not hard to not speed. Just put it on cruise control and the car will take care of it for you. It's not grievous. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:12, hate stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Covereth them all up. You know, sometimes husbands and wives may not necessarily get along, but one thing they should always do is love one another. Always love one another. So we continue in that love. But we have to continue in the truth. The Bible says there in verse number 6, and this is the love that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have had from the beginning that you should walk in it. Simply meaning, here's the truth. We have the truth in our hands. Every problem to everything that mankind ever faces in life, the answer is here. We just have to read it. We just have to search it. We just have to follow it. It's like as we can go to the doctor and the doctor tells us one thing, and if we don't do it, then what was the point of going? I know, Brother Tony, I know he wants to do push-ups and jumping jacks and get back to it, but he's got to listen to his doctor. And follow what he's told. And guess what? He'll have good success. Life for a Christian is really not hard. We just simply open the Word of God and follow what it says. And do what God commands us to do. It'll make us happier. It'll make us a nicer person. It'll fill us with love for one another. We have to do it. The Bible says that all men should do that. Churches can sometimes honestly get a bad reputation for lack of love. But members that do not love one another don't love the lost. And so we have to follow God's word and follow the Lord. What's God say? Luke chapter 10 verse 27. And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Life is not going to be easy. Verse number 7 clearly shows us that there's going to be deceivers that enter the world that confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. There's going to be those that say, where is his coming? Where is God? They can ask all kinds of questions. They can do everything they can to discourage us. But even under attack, even under those kind of discouragements, we still must love the Lord and love ourselves and love those around us. Do you know how I know how much we love ourselves? How many mirrors do you have in your house? Count them out. How many mirrors do you have in your house? Why do we have mirrors? Because we like to look at ourselves. Because we love ourselves. I've known teenage boys in our youth departments. They spent more time in front of the mirrors than girls do. And when boys get about 16 years old, they discover that there is only one other species. And it's called a girl. Lana's getting about that time period. Don't you remember that? We love ourselves. We spend lots of time on ourselves. But God says we ought to do the same thing for others. You know how much you love yourself? Love other people. Love them. Love the Lord like you love yourself. Have you ever thought about how much you love yourself? Here was a lady with great testimony. She had great exhortations. She learned to love. She loved the ungodly. She loved the unworthy. She loved the undeserving. She didn't participate in their sin, or she didn't participate in the things that they did in the world, but she still showed love to them. Our churches could be changed. Our world could be changed. Our city could be changed if more of God's people showed love like the elect lady. Reproduced ourselves like the elect lady. You know, for us, in order for us to stay rooted and grounded, we must live a life of love. As it says back in verse number 2 there, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. It's not about us. It's all about him. It's all about him. And we know that we're commanded to do so, and we should never forget to do it. Sometimes, make sure we can get away from God. Sometimes it may be hard to love our children because sometimes they just kind of make you just want to go. How many of you had children before? You've all been there. You've used this phrase. If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. I think it was up here on the board. We've heard it before. But even through all that, we still love them. We still love them. And you ever thought about it like this? If we've told our children that, how many times has Jesus told us that in time of prayer? I've told you once. I've told you 1,000 times. Love the Lord. Do what he says. Sometimes we allow the influences of the ungodly to turn us away and get mixed in with them. The question is tonight, how is your love? How is your love? How's your love for the brethren? Really, how's your love for the lost? Could I encourage you? So last time you ran out of tracks and you had to come get a new stack of tracks out of your car. Just yesterday, my social and I, we were trying to cover the neighborhoods in our area in Buckeye. We ran out. It was amazing. We had one track left, last house on the street. It was awesome. I said, we got to get a new stack, so we got to get a new stack before we leave this Sunday. It's the last time you showed love to your coworker. Just told him, hey, Jesus loves you. Hey, when's the last time you called your coworker? Just tell him, I prayed for you today. Do you know Jesus loves you? I love you. I prayed for you today. That might change your work relationship. We must have plenty of love for all those around us. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Would you tonight consider the love of Christ and the love that Christ has for you? As it says in verse number 2, as of our text, for the true sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Have you truly spent some time lately to consider how much God loves you? Spent time at the altar? God has done so much for us. He's done so much for you. Have you told him thank you? This last time you came to the altar and just told him thank you. Maybe there's one here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ, the Lord and personal Savior. They've never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. He wants you to have everlasting life. Maybe there's someone you could come and pray for. Say, Lord, I want to show the love of Christ to. I want to show the truth that is in me and show it to them. I haven't shown the truth to enough people this week. How about I do that? We pray for our neighbors. Pray for our coworkers, those around us. As the music begins to play, as our brother begins to sing, as we stand to our feet tonight,